A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, keep your comments and views coming into us on the programme. Just one point to make before we go to Tony. A listener says, responding to earlier comment, they say the president did wear a green coat. I don't know. It looked blue to me. Maybe aquamarine, maybe with some shade of green that looks blue. That might be in the eye of the beholder, maybe. So anyway, it looks me. I'm looking at a picture here on the President of Ireland website, and the coat looks blue to me, fairly blue. But anyway, maybe I'm wrong at that. Anyway, if you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show on 066-7123-666. Keep your comments and queries coming in. Tony McGinley with me on the line this morning. Tony, very good morning to you, and thanks for joining me again this week.
And a very good morning to you, Gerry.
I don't know if you're an expert in colours of green and blue, Tony. We'll have to get to that in more detail later on, maybe. But listen, it's been a good St. Patrick's Day. I know, you know, there's a lot of depressing things going on in the world. I know we talk about this from time to time, but good to take some time out and kind of celebrate and be positive, isn't it, as we head into the spring?
Absolutely, absolutely. It struck me about the president's dress or coat. Blue is the national Irish colour. Blue with a gold imprint on it.
I think you're actually right. Yes.
Yeah. So that could be why she was wearing blue.
Yes, it could be something to do with etiquette and those sort of things that are... And it can be... It's actually the known as St. Patrick's blue. It's the historic national colour. And you're right, the gold harp in the background as well is your blue. So maybe she was wearing the right colour after all.
Nobody knows what Patrick wore anyway. Nobody has
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. Okay, Tony, we have a query in here from a listener. And as always, get in touch with us on the programme if you have any views and queries and questions for Tony. Listener says, I'm in my 70s and widowed. I've recently been considering my future and I've more or less decided to sell the house and rent a small apartment to put the money into an account to cover my care as I grow older. I was very shocked when my grown son suggested that he should get his inheritance out of the proceeds. I just don't know how to deal with this situation.
A cheeky sod. He'd get his inheritance.
How dare he?
Really. Oh, yeah. He'd be lucky to get anything at the rate he's going. No, I mean, he'd get his inheritance when the will is read, and that's the way it works. No, he might get a few bob if he was stuck for money, but that's a different thing from getting inheritance up front, as it were. And this person is going into a home or some sort of care centre anyway, and that's going to cost money. There may be nothing left. So the guy needs to back off, and he needs to be told to back off, and this person needs to tell him. So, you know, it's an unfortunate bit of ignorance, really. I think that sort of situation. If somebody is ill, they're going to need money, and it could eat up every penny that would be gained by selling a house. It depends on the costs involved. So, you know, he gets his inheritance when the will is read. That's the way I would see it, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing about it, and this is something we've talked about in the legal lowdown with Mary McGillicuddy as well on this show, is that whenever deciding on an earth, you have to decide, you have to prioritise yourself first in terms of your own living arrangements, the need for your own care as well. That should come first and foremost before anyone else has talked about or thought about in that context, Tony, from a self-protection point of view, financially and otherwise, for this person.
Yeah, except in very rare cases where there's lots and lots of money involved. Yeah, then you can give the money to them, make a gift of it. But where there's going to be tightness of money available, you know, and somebody is going into a home like that, that could cost hundreds of thousands of pounds over years if it lasted that length of time. So it needs to be dealt with very, very carefully, and he needs to calm himself on.
Yeah, okay. All right, another query coming into us. Listener says, very often I lie awake for hours during the night thinking about things that can go wrong and generally worrying. The next day I feel I'm worn out and I wish I could stop this cycle that I'm in. I'd appreciate hearing your view on this.
Yeah, the brain is a funny thing. You know, we think we own our brain, but it runs away with us very often. And like that, if you get into a kind of a general worrying state, or if you're a little bit depressed, or if you're not taking up enough in your day-to-day work, you know, if you're, you know, as they say, exercised mentally during the day, whether that is by work or by enjoyment or whatever, then the brain tends to, you know, as it were, work on like that during the night. So there's several ways of dealing with it. One is if you're awake like that for a long time, one of the advices, and the one I found works for quite a few people I dealt with down the years, is to get up out of bed, have a book or a copy book ideally, and write down what's in your head, what's going on. I'm worried about this, that, and the other. Write it down, put detail on it, and then when you've done that and you feel satisfied that you've covered everything, then go back to bed. You'll probably then get to sleep. And then the following day, open the book, read through it, and see what you can actually do about the things you're worried about. You know, it as I say, the brain will pick times when we're not doing anything. When it's not occupied doing something, it will then pick times to go back and you know, pull stuff out of the memory and start chewing on it. And to prevent that, is the best way is to actually list down what it's saying to you. What is my brain saying to me? It's worried about the future. It's worried about the house. It's worried about money. It's whatever. Worried about health. Write these things down, as I said, in detail. And then you'll find that by doing that a few times, it will ease things up quite a bit. The other thing I would say is that if you're finding this is a habit, that the brain is going into this state sort of nearly every night, then there's a possibility that you're not fulfilled in your day, or that you might be slightly, and I use the word slightly, depressed. So what I would say is it's a very good idea to have a look at what does your day contain for you. And if it tends to be a bit empty, then why not work on it? And by working on it, you know, you will give the brain something to do. By working on it, I am thinking about things like, you know, what are you occupied by? Apart from making the dinner and doing the shopping and cleaning the house, what occupies you during the day? What are your mental interests? Or what are your hobbies? Do you do gardening? Yeah. Are you have a bit of art, or, you know, are you into music or whatever? And by advancing those things in your life, you know, say, okay, I love music. I'm going to maybe, you know, I played a little piano when I was a child. I'm going to learn to play the piano. And you can get grand electric pianos nowadays. Whatever, but have the brain occupied during your day, and intently look at your life, sort of do a bit of analysis, put it on a page and analyze your day to day. You know, what do I do Monday morning? What do I do Tuesday afternoon? What do I do Wednesday night? You know, write it down, you know, and begin to analyze what you are actually doing or not doing. The other thing that is very good for keeping the brain in the right place is to get involved in helping other people. And, you know, there's loads of charity organizations now, and there's plenty, they're always looking for somebody to do something or to mind the shop for whatever. Get involved in helping other people, and that will help you as well. So there'd be a few little tips I would give, you know.
And Tony, is there a need here in this particular instance to see if there's something else going on, if this is a level of maybe suffering from insomnia for whatever reason, and then you're filling the time when you can't sleep with these worries, to get that checked out?
The brain has to rest, you know, so that if you know, you might be spending too much time in bed. You know, as you get older, you need slightly less sleep. I mean, there was a time when I would sleep for 12 hours, and now I sleep for about 6 or 7. And, you know, if you're waking or being awake for a long time, ask yourself, how much time are you spending in bed? Because some people, again, if their lives are not full, they're going to bed, you know, at 10 o'clock and not getting up again until 10 o'clock the next day. So that might be part of it. The other one, as I think I mentioned, is there could be a little bit of depression going on, you know, because if you're getting on and you're not, you don't have a fulfilling life, if your life isn't giving you some sense of satisfaction, I did something good today, that was great. Yeah. You know, if there's not a bit of that going on in your life, that could be one of the reasons you spend hours ruminating, is the word I think for it, you know, ruminating through the night, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing you need to get out of, if you can, by doing all the things you suggest, or doing that kind of inventory of what's going on in the rest of my life, which may be contributing to this particular one.
Yeah, as I say, you know, one, get out of the bed. If you are, you know, awake for 2 hours, get out of the bed, go down, put on an electric fire, whatever you need to keep you warm.
Yeah.
Take out a page or a book. A book is the best, some sort of a copy book or whatever, and write down what's going on in detail. And then over the next day or two or three or four, analyze what you've written and ask yourself, what can I do to change what's going on there? And look, as I say, look at your life as well. How full is your day? And how satisfying is your day? Because if we're not satisfied with our time, that will then reflect again in our sleep.
Yeah, okay. A couple of comments on the original query about inheritance. One listener gets in touch on the issue, says, how dare he demand anything? He's no right to ask for anything. Let him make his own way in life. He must be told to sod off and give him nothing. Cheeky, ungrateful man. P.S. inheritance, my eye. That's a bit harsh, but there you go. That's one person.
Well, I think he does need a kick up to behind. There's no question about that. That's a cheeky sod, as I said myself.
Well, Tony, another listener says on the Harris Group, maybe Tony should have talked more considerately about the woman who's being advised to sell her home and go into rented property. She could be putting herself into a situation where she could find herself in a homeless situation. Well, the point is that she has decided to sell the house and rent a small apartment and put the money to go and cover care. So she is looking after. The question was about inheritance, Tony, not about the decision she made.
Exactly. Yeah,
and you were advising you need to look after yourself, number one.
Yeah, we could easily go off on a dozen tangents there, but
Yeah, and important that whatever she decides to, that she gets the best advice when it comes to it as well on those sort of things. Tony, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks for talking to us again this week. We'll talk to you next Wednesday for a problem shared.
Take care. Bye.
Great stuff. Tony McGinley with us online. More, get your queries and comments coming into us on the programme for him for next week.